Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Alan Robinson and Dean Schroeder are back, ladies and gentlemen. Alan is an award-winning author, an educator, and a consultant. He's the co-author of the bestseller Corporate Creativity, and which was named Book of the Year by the Academy of Human Resource Management. Dean Schroeder spent 10 years in industry before going into academia, and he's the founder of two companies, and both of them are the co-authors of a book I'm holding in my hand that I really like a lot. It's called Ideas Are Free. Alan and Dean, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. Alan, one of the things I know you guys have been working on is outsourcing. You've been combining the work that you do that gave rise to the book Ideas Are Free. Mm-hmm. You've been working on combining all that and overlaying it in this whole maybe, you know, it's a practice. Some people won't call it best practices, but it's a practice called outsourcing. And why don't you orient us a little bit around what you guys are working on?
Well, I guess we started thinking about the sort of place we're coming from is how do you as a company, U.S.-based company, compete with foreign competitors who are, have a huge wage advantage over you, basically. And I guess we started thinking about this when we were writing Ideas Are Free and went to a company called Millikan, the textile company.
Right.
And we found out some very interesting statistics. First of all, we went there because they were one of the best in the country at getting ideas from their frontline people. They were getting 110 ideas per person per year. Now it's 115.
Wow.
And Roger Millikan said to us, you know, we asked him, how does this help you competitively? You know, and obviously in his business, a lot of the competition is
I mean, the textile industry in America is almost not existent anymore.
Yeah. But Millikan is thriving. And this is why we started getting interested in this. And he said, you know, many of our foreign competitors pay their workers less than 1/20th of what we pay ours.
Oh, yeah.
So in order to be competitive with them, we have to outmanage them by that factor. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's not the only tool in my, toolkit, but by far the biggest one is this process, this system, this culture that he's established in a 17,000-person company. You know, that's hard to do. To get lots of ideas from my frontline employees. It makes me much, much stronger. And so he's been able not just to survive, but to grow in an environment where most of his competitors who aren't doing this in the United States are going out of business, as you just said.
But
we got interested.
But how is he doing that, Dean? I mean, one thing I don't think you can do is I don't think you can compete against those kinds of wages and those kinds of of advantages that some of the other countries have by delivering commodities. You've got to do some specialization, don't you?
Absolutely. It's not only specialization, but one of the things we've discovered is small companies are particularly well suited for developing the type of advantages by using their employees' ideas that compete well with companies abroad. If you look at the flexibility, if you look at the customer focus, if you look at the responsiveness, if you look at the quality, all the things that a small company can do very quickly, it can oftentimes provide services and products not that are necessarily cheaper than what you can stamp out
right
in China or in India, but that are lower cost overall to a company because of the extra service and responsiveness. It's easier to do business with a company like that. You talk to a lot of small companies. They don't have the bureaucracy. They can move fast. But in order to do that, and in order to have that quality and that performance and keep their costs down as low as possible so that they're at least in the ballpark, that's where lots and lots of ideas from employees come in to keep them on the cutting edge.
I'm gonna predict that the Milliken company doesn't try to be in their current 21st century model. I don't know what they're doing these days for their customers, but I'm going to predict that they're not trying to be all things to all people. That they're not delivering what people need, what people need, which is our commodities. They're delivering what people want, which is customization.
Right. Absolutely. But go ahead, Dean.
Let me give you a great example of that. Alan and I were in one of their operations in Denmark. I mean, Denmark is not exactly a low cost area.
No.
And they were making a carpet for commercial use. But it was a carpet that had a special fiber and arrangement that when you walked in, it sort of scraped your feet and pulled the dirt in so that it saved the rest of the carpet. Now, the question was how they could do that. What they were using were standard looms that any company, any competitor in the world could buy, including third world companies. But each one of those looms had been customized with over 200 small ideas from their frontline people, from the operators, that allowed them to make this special weave and that allowed those looms to operate at 2 to 3 times faster than the manufacturer had even said was possible. And that's the type of advantage that they were able to get from ideas that allowed them to make the unique products that nobody else could touch.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing going on here, too, which, again, our first encounter with this at Milliken, we've since studied it more, but alerted us to, which is that we'd actually, Dean and I have worked in a lot of developing countries, and it's much harder. I don't want to generalize too much, but it's much harder generally for competitors of U.S.-based companies to do this in the cultures that they operate in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were, for example, in one of Milliken's direct competitors in India, and the level of education of the general population is much lower.
Right.
Because they don't have the money for schools,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. The division in terms of the gap between management and frontline workers is so much greater that they just have much more trouble culturally and process-wise listening to their frontline people. So this is a real advantage that we have in this country.
Hold on to that thought, guys. Alan Robertson, ladies and gentlemen, Dean Schroeder, the authors of Ideas Are Free. We're going to be right back. We're going to boil this down to what it can do for you, what these ideas can do for your small business right after these messages, 20 after. Stay with us.
Stay away from me, America.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Visiting with Alan Robertson and Dean Schroeder, the authors of Ideas Are Free. Alan, tell us where the book's available, please.
Books available anywhere books are sold, and also online as well.
And that's any of the online stores. What about a website? You guys got a website for the book?
Yes, we do. It's www.ideasarefree.com.
All right.
A lot of cool stuff that you can find on that website.
Can we find out? Of course, I'm sure you got a little bit about the book there and the table of contents, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. We got excerpts. We have all kinds of things.
Good. Check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Okay, Dean, the thing that small business owners, I think, in the typical American small business owners are facing are not exactly a direct onslaught of impact from outsourcing as much as the way the internet has changed the way people buy things today, the way they shop for things, the way they find out about things. And so it's changed. And of course, we have all the big consolidators. We have all the big aggregators, you know, the big box companies. And I think that sometimes small business owners get so intimidated by this, they don't realize that they've got some advantages that the big companies don't have.
Boy, Jim, you couldn't be more true on that. If you look at a lot of the reasons that a company looks at outsourcing something from their own operation, they're exactly the type of things that a small business in this country could actually often do better than a foreign competitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the thinking is, oh my gosh, how am I going to compete with this cheap labor from a third world country or from a developing country? And if you look at all the things that a small business represents, a closeness to their employees so that they can listen to them, so they can get their ideas, so they can develop teamwork, so they can be rapid and responsive, so that they can come up with new and creative things, so they can talk to that customer, get to know the customer intimately, and help the customer solve their problems. Those are all things that those poor countries in the developing nations can't do.
Right.
But we're so intimidated by low labor costs or government subsidies or whatever.
Or the fact that Walmart can sell things cheaper than we can buy them.
That's right. If you look at it, it would not necessarily be good for many small companies to be selling to Walmart, because Walmart beats them up so badly, and the types of things that small businesses usually can't handle the volume.
Right.
What we want is good quality, stable relationships with our customers, and those are things that those third world companies can't provide.
Well, one of the things that I believe that and this is one of the things that your book talks about so well, is that the only way, in my opinion, for a small business to survive in the 21st century is to know what customers want, not what they need, but know what they want. And the only way to find out what they want is to ask them. And the people who are in the best position to ask customers what they want, not what they need, but what they want, are our employees.
Exactly. That's surprisingly true. Alan, you want to talk about how the employees are in the best position?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm listening to this and smiling, because this whole picture of how frontline ideas play into your ability to handle an outsourced world better is just I'll give you another example here. There's a company that's a big one, as you know, Jim, in Ideas Are Free, in our Ideas Are Free studies, called Boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only listen to their customers exceptionally well, because their frontline employees talk to them on the phone, deliver stuff, handle problems, but Boardroom was one of the first companies we encountered that goes to its vendors, goes to its own suppliers, and asks them for ideas. They actually hold off-site idea meetings at the suppliers. They ask the suppliers to ask their suppliers' employees for ways that Boardroom can work better with them. And so the result is that they get more for their outsourcing dollar than they would, and you know, if you're up against a Walmart or you know, big consolidator, and that's you need to take every point of leverage you can get. And Boardroom has had some fantastic ideas from suppliers, and of course the suppliers do work for Boardroom, but they can also tell Boardroom, hey, you can do things a lot better, save a lot of money, save time. Here's what your customers that we have to deal with in our piece of the business are telling us about you. So you don't just use your frontline ideas, you use the supplier's frontline ideas as well. And I think that's a powerful development.
Upstream and downstream. You've got to you've got to go both ways. I agree with you. You've got to do that. And I've said before that if you've got vendors who aren't helping you with your customers, then you need to find new vendors.
Absolutely. Exactly right.
What I'm saying is I shouldn't even have to go to my vendors and say, you know, I need your help. They should be coming to me saying, what can I do? It's a circle, it's a cycle that needs to be perpetuated, and that's the key, in my opinion, to 21st century success for small business. And whoever wants to do this, I got 20 seconds, last words.
Most important thing is that you need to understand, you know, it's one thing to want the ideas, but you got to set up a system. You got to set up a process. You got to know what you're doing to go after these ideas. And so many companies try it but do badly at it because they just don't know, you know, what it is they're supposed to
do. And I know Alan and Dean have that system in their book, folks. That's the reason I recommend it to you. Ideas are free. Wherever books are sold, ideasarefree.com. Alan Robinson, Dean Schroeder, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay,
bye, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Jonathan Zook. 29 After. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.